This episode may not be suitable for all viewers. It contains coarse language, scenes of violence, very dark subject matter, sadness, and references to child slavery. Your discretion is advised.
Previously on Throne of Dice.
Hi, everybody. It's your friendly neighborhood, Sheila, here to recap for you what happened previously on Throne of Dice. The girls got sent down to a place filled with a bunch of gross necromancy all over it inside of some weird dome. And they almost got caught by guards, but didn't. They almost got trapped inside the shield, but didn't. They went inside and found a way into the mayor's house. That guy they killed. They killed him deader than dead. Certainly more dead than the guys they found littered across the pavement inside the dome. You know what? It's actually kind of gross. If you're missing it, you probably should go back and listen. Yeah, they made their way inside, found a blacksmith shop, and Dungeon Jesus killed Azura's dad and made her find him, so that's super fun. They got a bunch of cool toys out of it. Who knows, maybe they'll succeed. On with the show, I guess.
Is that your dad?
That's my parents. Kadrian, my mom. And Mars, my dad. Can I have these journals, please?
Rowan, really concerned, like, picks up the journals and takes them to you and is like, here you go. And you, like, kind of look at the oldest one, and there's a lot of, like, day-to-day stuff. And this one, you find one entry that says, Chaedri found me today. I'm not sure how. She always knew it was me. Told me about our little girl. Wish I could meet her. She sounds like a sweet girl, but Toruk has been hovering and I can't risk him finding me. One day I'll meet her. One day Toruk will die for good. The next entry you find that has anything to do with your mom says, Chaedri visited me again today. Wish Genasi children would grow up so quickly. I'm missing everything. She's already almost a teenager. Chaedri's mom seriously needs to find a damn solution. In any case, it is lovely to see my darling. I just hope she's safe at Glenfell. They're so desperately unprotected out there. The third entry you find, and this one is quite newer than the other one. This is like in a journal that is like probably one of the last journals he wrote in. And it says, Sakaran guards came today. Chaedri's cloaking potion did wonders, but she needs to come by with more soon. I'm running low and the Sakaran guards are heavier in this area with Prince Henry traveling this way towards Lavalin. I know she's desperate for a solution to the necklace problem, but I keep telling her that Azura needs her to return. So by that, you gather that your mom is probably still alive because this must have been written within the last 3 months. And the last entry of that journal says, I managed to do it. I found a shard of the Philosopher's Stone. We might not be able to get all of it, but this should be enough to get us a killing blow on that bastard. Oh shit, something's going on outside. There's ash in the air. People are dying in the streets from that green fog. If this is my last entry, Chaedri, I love you. Azura, I know we haven't met, but I love you too. Dad.
Oof. Keisha, you're a bitch. You're the worst. Oh my god. Said with love. Complete love.
And when you guys look down, did you say this out loud to people, or did everybody, like, read it?
I would have read it loud, very, very, very tearfully. I'm glad you read it, because if I had to read it, I would actually have been crying.
Oh, I'm already starting to.
When you guys look down at the figure on the ground, the visage of the orc fades, and you now see the body of Dumarai the Unequaled, Azura's dad. And it occurs to you that he had just enough time to lock the chest before he died from whatever killed everyone else in the town.
Oof, oof. Yikes, 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 yikes.
That makes what Jackie did super awkward.
Oh.
Just a bit, but still zombies. Do you know how much worse it would have been for Azura to have her father attacking her in zombie form?
I mean, Azura, seeing this orcish visage fade, sorry, I'm calming myself down so that I can actually be understood.
Fair. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I'm sorry.
She did it too. She did. God damn. I was not expecting this whole thing to be about me or my family. I was expecting someone else's secrets. Fuck. As this orcish visage fades, Azura is gonna just be stunned at seeing her father. I'm gonna assume that this is probably the first time she's seen him then. At least
you noticed that your mom had sketches of him that she had done, so it's not like you don't recognize him, but you're shocked to find out that that's the visage of your father that she had been sketching.
Yeah. So Azura's just gonna kind of crawl up to the body, and she's just gonna kind of, I guess she's just gonna like cup the face a little bit and be like, I'm so sorry that I never...
There's no face, remember?
It's only kind of crumpled his head.
Oh my god.
Okay.
So I only hope that I can stop this from happening to anybody else. And I'm... And then she's just gonna sit there for a minute. And then she's gonna look up and she's gonna take the journals and she's gonna shove them all into her bag and wipe her tears away and be like, okay, where are we going next? Still like sniffly and stuff, but you can tell that she's just kind of like, I'm not gonna deal with this right now. Let's just focus on anything else.
So you guys exit the blacksmith's, I assume, and head down the road, and you get to that little intersection area that's awkward, and you start to hear noise coming from the building that's behind the blacksmith's, and it sounds a lot like there are these animals being tortured.
Because it just can't get any worse.
It sounds like there are like these horses that are very frightened and trying to get out of their stalls, because I mean, it like you look and it's like a wagon maker's hutch. There's space in the back for where the horses should be and like a stable, but something's in there and it's fucking with the animals that are still alive.
I don't like that.
Fluffle squeaks, zombies, and then more pink bubbles come out of his face.
Rowan goes, fuck, man. It could be the thing that's also like trying to, that's in control of this. Should we check it out?
Fluffles pushes him first.
This is why you live so long.
Oh. Okay.
He's an assassin, man. He goes by like killing people without them noticing, like in the dark, in their sleep. He does not go like head on into fight. Especially against necromancy.
Calypso and Tikka draw arrows from their bow and they're like, and Calypso's like, we got your back. Let's go. Do you guys follow them?
Yeah, I guess so. So
yeah, but Waffles stays like kind of crouched down in the middle of the group. Like, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be heard. I don't, fuck this.
Okay, awesome. So you guys come upon the building and you guys see it's like two figures. There's one more horse that's still alive, but they've got it trapped and they're like at its neck. Can you guys make stealth rolls for me?
20. I rolled an 11 plus 1, 12.
Okay.
Fluffles got 18.
Everybody succeeds, so you've managed to sneak up on these things. And, what do you guys do?
I mean, what are they?
Two of them first, see what they're doing.
They look like they're eating it. Like, from the neck.
Waffles was fucking right, man. Zombies!
They oddly don't look like they're rotting, though. They just kind of look also misty. Gross.
Waffles probably can't do shit, because they probably won't.
Okay, I think...
He only has weapons, man.
I think Calypso and Tikka are going to aim. Tikka aims at the one on the left of the group and Calypso to the one on the right. They're both going to aim their bows at them. Calypso doesn't hit. Tikka does. Plus 10 to hit. So yeah, he definitely hits the fucking thing. And he's going to go and shoot again. Definitely hits. This guy is pissed. He fucking felt that. Okay, so now they're all aware of you.
Keisha, does the stone work once every long rest or once every turn?
You can bring someone back to life once every 15 years, and you can make someone corporeal for 1 minute once per long rest.
Okay, thank you.
I want to do turn undead.
Turn undead. What does that do?
So as an action, you present your holy symbol and speak a prayer, censoring the undead. Each undead that you can see or hear, they can see or hear me within 30 feet must make a wisdom saving throw. If the creature fails its saving throw, it is turned for 1 minute or until it takes any damage. A turned creature must spend its turn trying to move as far away from you as it can, and it can't, willingly move to a space within 30 feet of you.
So I'd say you guys are actually within 20 feet.
Yeah, it also can't take any reactions, and for its action, it can only use the dash action or try to escape from an effect that prevents it from moving. Okay. If there's nowhere to move, the creature can use the dodge action. When the undead fails its saving throw against your turn undead feature, the creature is instantly destroyed if its challenge rating is 1 or below.
Okay, what is the save?
My save is 15.
And it's a wisdom save?
Yep.
Well, they both failed.
Great. They are instantly destroyed.
They're of a challenge rating of 2, so they only run away.
Ah, damn.
And when they look at you, notice you, and are fearful, you realize that they're Vargeists, which is like the darkness within a vampire's soul made manifest.
Oh.
So they see you, and they kind of go into vapor and leave the building. And so, the horse, though, it collapses, and you see it kind of writhing, and along with another one.
I kill the horse. I gotta kill it. It's so sad and hurting.
And
wait, when it cure the wounds.
Well, before you even get to that,
sorry.
Other shit happens. You guys watch as 3 horses rise from the ground. And you see them, and everybody's feels instantly cold because they start to transform and they start to move towards you. And as you do, you realize that they look exactly like the horses from the vision, and they've been turned into nightmares. But there's something curious. Oh, God. These horses don't have black eyes or anything. Their eyes are actually kind of mundane looking. The one that goes up to Azura has stormy, gray eyes, and the one going up to Fluffles is a forest green, and the one going up to Oddbell has deep chocolate brown, and they look at you like they recognize you, and before you guys can do much, they nuzzle you as affectionately they know you.
Nuzzle. Fluffles turns his head away because pink bubbles are coming out of his face again.
Can I do a perception check to see if I can recognize the eyes?
Yes.
25.
With a 25, you're not sure how and you're not sure why, but you could swear up and down that those are the eyes of a Taran.
Fuck. I'm leaving. Bye. How dare you?
Oh, God, no. How
dare you? I'm so upset.
Fuck. What do I see with my horse, Keisha? I'm going to do a perception check.
Mm-hmm.
Oddbell's just stunned. Absolutely stunned.
Fluffles rolled a 17.
These eyes, you haven't seen them in a few hundred years, a couple hundred years. You remember the moment that they died, and it was on a mission where they were trying to teach you the exact trade that has kept you alive this long. It is your mentor who taught you how to be an assassin.
Oh, fuck.
I rolled only a 10.
You try to figure out who this is, and you don't know why this creature recognizes you. And as soon as you all, get that moment, they disappear in a puff of smoke and they're gone.
I'm so pissed that I rolled so shit. Actually, I'm still here's what's gonna happen. Well, fuck, I wish I had rolled better. Who the fuck were you?
I'm so upset. Yeah, I'm really upset. So is he still in front of me? Like, is the horse still in front of me?
They disappeared in a puff of smoke.
Oh, they're all gone?
Yeah.
Okay, so Oddbell is still, like, just absolutely stunned. I don't know who did this, but whoever did, I'm gonna fucking murder.
What did you see?
I just know those eyes from... I never thought I'd see those eyes again, to be honest. They were my best friend.
Oh.
Tigger goes, I'm still here.
Oddbell doesn't have any, like, sassy response. She's just... Yeah, no sassy response, sorry.
How's Fluffles doing?
Shaking. He is just shaking, like, on verge of tears. Like, he does not know what to do. He is just shaking. And I think he's not, like, scared anymore. I think he's just kind of, like, I think a piece of him is, like, stuck in the past remembering his mentor. Because his mentor was, like, the first person that showed him kindness after coming up from the Underdark.
Oddbell just says, all right, time to go. He's not dead. So this is all a dream. This isn't real. This is not reality. So we have to go. We have to go and find out who's doing this so we can figure out what's going on, because this isn't real. This isn't real. No, no way.
Fluffles looks up at her and he's like, my mentor was as dead as he could be. Are you really sure?
He's not gone. And then Oddbell just, like, turns and starts stomping down, like, just continues walking. She's on a mission. She's going to find out who the fuck's doing this shenanigans. She's going to kick their ass. She's going to take their name.
And then choose the bubble gum?
Yes. She's it.
You notice that as you got to closer to the wagon maker's place, that you were getting further away from the music. So do you guys, like, turn around and go back the other way?
Yeah, Fluffles definitely follows Oddbell, like, right out. Like, no, I'm not letting you walk to your death.
I just follow the music. I'm just going wherever I can hear it.
So I guess you guys kind of, like, turned back down the main street. And it's really loud in that little area, and you're not sure why.
Question. So was it loud by the stables before?
No, it was quiet.
Okay.
So you guys move back to the intersection.
Then I just listen for the sound and follow it.
So when you guys turn the corner going back down the main street, Fluffles, can you make a perception check for me?
16 plus 5.
Okay, so you notice that the orange building outside, it has a sign that says orphanage.
How can our game make this sad now?
Okay. Was it one Fluffles had visited before? Let's put it this way.
You could have sworn that you destroyed this orphanage about 100, 150 years ago, but there's a new one.
Fluffles is just gonna, like, mumble under his breath and just be like, at least something good came out of this fucking bullshit.
You also notice that the brown building has a sign that says school.
Oh my god.
Fluffles?
Yeah?
So, question for you. You look like you know these places. Were these places here the last time you saw them, or are they from somewhere else?
Fluffles is just gonna kind of turn to the orphanage and he's gonna be like, let's put it this way. That building burned down. The school's been here for a while, though.
But they were always here. Well, like, but they were built in this town and they are still in this town. Not they were in a different town and now all of a sudden they're here. Like magic shenanigans.
No, but unless they rebuilt it, it still shouldn't be here.
Mm.
Why is that? Says Rowan.
I turn to him and I just look him, like, straight in the eye. Because I burnt the fucker to the ground.
What? Why would you do that?
Hey, Rowan, Mr. I can't hit shit.
But, like,
also want to know why Fluffles would burn down an orphanage, though? Like,
that's for children that don't have parents.
And no. Fluffles probably had his reasons.
Fluffles is going to look at all of them and he's going to be like, no, this wasn't a place for children that didn't have parents. This was a place for slavers to get children that didn't have parents.
Told
when
you.
I took the children, I burnt the place to the ground so it could never happen again.
Oh my god. Wow.
He loves Daffy too much to just hurt a bunch of kids.
I mean, you're right. I just... It... Without knowing the context, it sounds like a very, very shitty thing to do.
I trust Fluffles.
Fluffles just shrugs and he's like, yeah, I give you that, but you didn't know these fuckers like I did.
Were you one of them?
I don't think
Fluffles... Like, one of the orphanage's kids? Or, like, why? Why do you... How did you figure that out?
Fluffles is gonna turn to him and he's gonna be like, that's a very, very long story. That involves a cornfield, a younger assassin, and an asshole.
Okay. And for all of you guys who aren't Patreon listeners yet, you can see that in our next After Hours episode about Fluffles and Kimberly.
Finally!
Nice. Nice Patreon plug.
Yep.
All right.
I mean, so, if someone wants to, like, poke me for more details, like, hey, we got time.
You get After Hours on every tier, so give it a lookout. It'll be great.
We're even funny there. We're still funny there.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Probably more funny than right now, because this is friggin' depressing, but whatever. It's fine.
Yup. Hey, you gotta have some mix, because a lot of this has been bullshit, so we gotta get a little serious.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Someone pick me up so I can lift my feet off the ground.
You are tearing all of us, all of our hearts out of our chests on this podcast to this episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Just wait for the Kimberly episode.
So, Fluffles, question. Should we just burn this down now? Should we just burn it down now, or should we actually go in?
Fluffles is gonna look at it and be like, well, it seems a little redundant now, doesn't it?
Well, what are they gonna do? Rebuild it? Everyone's dead anyway.
That's what I mean.
So,
and there's no kids to save this time.
Mm-hmm. So, we gonna burn it down? I need to burn something.
Okay.
I'm pissed.
Fluffles just, like, pats her on the back and he's like, go ahead. You can have the honors with this one, then.
Wonderful. Alright. Keisha, did you just say, oh no?
Oh shit, I wasn't muted.
Oh man.
That makes me, I still need to do it.
We don't know that.
We should not do this. I was not.
Can you guys roll a perception check?
Yeah.
Upon getting closer to the building.
I got it. I don't think having an orphanage is a good idea, even if...
25.
23.
This is a perception. I rolled a 17.
Alright. I'm just gonna say that everybody notices this. There is fresh footprints leading into the building, and you can hear a child giggling.
Fluffles is just gonna, like, run in the building. Like, fuck everyone else.
Hey.
She's gonna run in the building.
There is a laughing child. Have you not seen a horror movie?
No, because there's no TVs in this universe.
This is Jenna talking as Jenna, but, like, what?
Of course, I have seen a horror movie, but Fluffles is going to be that white girl, and he's going to run towards the sound.
Man.
Because he hears a child
laughing, and it's so creepy. Children laughing is, like, the creepiest thing in, like, situations like this.
Yes, he is, but you have to understand, he went around to, like, every orphanage in Catalosa and burned them down if they were slave traders, saving the children.
Yes.
He's kind of got a soft spot for kids. So he hears a kid in this shit, he just goes running, like, I'm gonna go save this kid.
Alright, I follow Fluffles. I just follow Fluffles.
Well, I guess we have to do this now, because he's already in there, and Azura's just going to follow him.
Okay.
Burned it down, though. Just, like, in an AU, this building's burning down. In an alternate podcast.
Do you want to turn back the clock and burn it down, Jenna?
No, it's all good. No, I'll follow Fluffles. I completely understand why Jackie's doing that, why Fluffles is doing that. In an alternate universe where Fluffles didn't run into a building, it's burnt down.
Alright. I'm just gonna wait for them.
In Audrey's brain.
On the way out.
True. I mean, there's opportunities to burn stuff if I live that long.
Okay, so you guys, Fluffles runs into the main area, and there's like a desk right beside the door, which looks like a little reception's desk, and it opens up to a little bit of a wider space. There is a slanted wall to your left leading towards another wall, and both of those have doors on it. You assume leading to other rooms. And then there's a hallway with a door on it on either side that leads out to a back door. Yeah, there's a few rooms, but this is what you can see. And then also behind the desk, there's stairs leading upstairs.
Just to clarify, Oddbell is following Fluffles wherever Fluffles is going.
Yeah, I'm going where Fluffles is going. This is his gig. I don't really care about being in here. I'll do a perception check to see, though, if I can hear where the kids' laughter is coming from now that we're actually in the building.
I am also have my weapon drawn and ready, and attack ready.
Is there a roll your perception check?
My perception is 21.
You can hear laughing all around you guys, and it's not exactly particular, but you do hear physical thumping upstairs, like physical feet on the ground upstairs.
Okay.
Fluffles, have you ever heard of laughing zombies? Neither have I, but I'm sure that's what's going on right now.
Fluffles just kind of like shakes at that, and he's like, and what if it's not a zombie, and what if it's a child? And he's just saying this as he's opening all the doors, like trying to see if someone else is there.
So in the first door to your left, and you see like a bunch of chairs, and there's people in them, and there's a person kind of at the podium holding up the arm of a smaller form. Huh. And
like a living person?
No, they're dead. It looks like people were bidding on the events happening.
Fluffles really mad, and he literally destroys everything in the room. He kind of turns back, and like you see in his eyes, like there is just a rage at the situation.
Like Oddbell gets like really close to him. She puts her paws on his face and she says, Fluffles, if you want to be here looking through everything, I will support you. But I need you to think about this rationally and really think, do you really think with all of these dead people that there's going to be one child left alive? I need you to really think about this and look at me and tell me that you really do. And I will walk with you no matter what you choose. But I need you to be 100% sure that you believe that there's an actual living creature here. And it's not just something that's luring you into getting yourself killed and everyone else. I support you if you want to look for this kid, if you really think there's a kid. But you need to really think about this because you have a real kid that you need to get back to.
Yeah, that one would have like snapped him out of his anger.
Not perception check.
I got a 20.
22.
I rolled a 8.
The others rolled well enough to see it. So I guess Azira wasn't like looking into the room enough, and the others were in a good position. And you just see like in the hall, there's a small form that materializes, and it's a small ghost child. And they look at you quizzically.
And before Fluffles can go to this kid, I say, don't forget about Murphy.
I think he just like drops to his knees and doesn't know what to do.
And the kid goes up to Fluffles and says,
excuse me, mister.
Kind of rocks back on its heels with its hands behind its back.
I'm ready to turn undead any second, I hope you know. I'm ready. I'm ready. I haven't done it, but I'm ready.
I'm ready to slap this bitch with some magic.
And Fluffles just kind of like looks at the kid like, you're dead. I couldn't save you.
Mister, can I get some help?
Fluffles just kind of stumbles out like, what kind of help do you need?
I have my friends trapped upstairs.
I think Fluffles just like really starts to shake hard, and he just kind of turns to Oddbell like he has no grip on reality anymore. Help him.
Oddbell looks at the ghost and she says, all right, absolutely, we'll help you. I need to ask you a couple questions first so we know what we're getting into. Okay, do you think you can answer those questions for me?
And he nods.
Are your friends living?
I think so. I have many friends. Some of them walk through walls like me, others do not.
Okay, do these friends walk through walls with you?
I don't think so. I can't get through that wall.
Okay.
Azura's gonna join Fluffles in wanting to go upstairs. She's gonna turn around and immediately go upstairs and be like, oh hey. My fucking god. Who is
at Azura and say, wait a second. We gotta finish asking questions about the ghost so we know what we're getting into, and you're gonna walk away and no one's gonna come with you and you're gonna die, and then I don't know what I'm gonna do and I'm gonna lose all my friends. And I already lost one friend and Atar instead, and I don't know what to do, and you need to stop going places right now.
Everybody, like, all of my NPCs just stop. And the little kid ghost, like, goes up to you, and he, like, goes for your hand. It passes through, and he says,
I'm sorry, I forgot. But I'm here for you.
Azura's gonna stop, and she's gonna come back to Oddbell, and she's just gonna kind of hug her from behind.
Just be like, okay.
Oddbell's like a really deep, like, I'm the only person with a brain right now. I'm just gonna take a deep breath and I'm gonna like, all right, so how many friends do you have upstairs?
A lot of people got separated when the weird smoke happened. I think there's lots of us that can walk through walls, but the ones upstairs, I'm not sure. I think there was about one.
He starts counting on his fingers.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. What's the one that comes after 7?
8.
8. And the one that comes after that?
9. 10?
I think there's 9.
9, okay.
But I didn't see everybody get into the wall.
Okay, do you know what the age range is? I'm starting to think that if they are alive, sorry, this is Jenna talking. I'm starting to think that if they are actually alive, then it's an age thing, and all, like, everyone over a certain age is dead or whatever. That's what I'm thinking. I might be wrong, but that's my...
Well, there were some that couldn't make it into the behind the wall in time, so those ones are now like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the youngest is probably Tommy. I haven't seen him in a while, since this whole thing started. And then the other, well, the oldest one, well, they're pretty old. They were about to be sold.
I just was going to look at everyone and say, I think I don't have any other questions. Does anyone else have anything else to add to the questioning before we proceed?
Let's keep going. And Azura is going to turn around and proceed to continue walking, going upstairs.
Fluffles is just violently shaking. And as soon as Azura says that, he's just going to like bolt up the stairs, like run past her up the stairs.
Oddbell just like lifts her hands up in exasperation. She's like, I'm gonna lose all my friends today.
Everybody makes their way up the stairs with Tikka following behind Oddbell, and the ghost kid kind of vanishes and then meets you at the top, and you see a bunch of like bunk beds. There's only about 5 bunk beds, and then the back wall has a bunch of there's this wall that cuts off like 5 feet from the top, like the stairs where you would have come up. So if you're looking at the other map, the one I sent you, the wall cuts across right where the wall to the mistress's bunk in the kitchen would be, and you can't see beyond that. That's all like
on the second level.
Yeah, so the second level has been cut into like one small neat square, the stairs and then like 5 bunk beds and then a back wall full of books.
Can I do a perception check to see if I can find any like hidden doors or levers or anything?
You guys can do investigations if you'd like.
Fluffles is going to investigate, definitely, for sure. That is the wrong dice for it though.
My investigation gave me a 13.
Fluffles got a 17.
Can someone roll for me? Because I can't. Okay. I get a plus 7.
You got 10.
17?
You got 10.
Awesome, so 17.
No. 3 plus 7.
Ah, boo. Okay.
So Oddbell is more concerned by the people that didn't make it into the back room. Some of them are like bigger people. Like they were probably adults. There were quite a few that aren't. And with a 13, you notice that they're all kind of like moving towards one particular bookshelf. And that's the bottommost one, if you're looking at the map. And Fluffles, when you get to the bookshelf, you notice that all of these books look fake, like they're kind of just wooden things that look like they've been given sleeves, all except for one, and it says a history before the history of Toruk.
Buffles takes it.
And the door swings open inwardly, and inside it's really dark, and you hear some kids squeal, and then a stern voice go, "Don't make a single sound."
Fluffles shoves cleans the book off a bit of the dust and the mold and the grossness, and then he shoves it in his bag for later.
Perfect. So do you go into the room?
And then, yeah, he goes inside and he motions the rest with him, but he kind of motions to go first, like, "I can see in the dark. I want to get the drop on this bitch."
So you step into this room, and in the dark light that is dim because you are a drow, you see about, like, the kid got it wrong. There was only about 7 kids in here, and they're all huddled in a corner, and there is a woman sitting on, like, the only bucket in the room. There are no beds. There is not really anything to sleep on. It's just floor, and there's a large space, and the kids are huddled together in a corner, and the woman's sitting on the only bucket in the room.
Does she have any weapons?
No, she's just trying to be as quiet as possible because she doesn't know what you are, and she doesn't think that you can see her.
Okay. Fluffles wants to grab her by the neck and throw her out into the main room.
Okay, awesome. She, make a strength check.
Oh, please don't fifth. 3 - 3, Keisha. 3 oh. Minus three.
Oh no. Yikes.
You go to, like, go on her throat, and you get yanked back by something else, and you hear an adult woman's voice, not hers, but someone else that you can't see or hear, that says, "Don't you worry about this one, she's mine." And you look up and you see the form of a wraith, and she says, "Just get the kids out of here."
Oh shit. Okay. Oh, okay, kid, let's get out of here.
So they are scared and confused, and they're like, "Oh, people that are alive that aren't this bitch. Okay, let's go." And the wraith turns to you before going after the woman one last time, and she says, "Check the cellar."
Fluffles just nods, and then once they're, like, out of that room, Fluffles looks at, like, one of the older kids, and he says, "Tell me where the cellar is."
Okay, this one's about 12. He says, so that one is out the back door and to your left. Yeah, I think you gotta just go there. I don't know how many kids are down there, but I also don't know who is down there.
Okay, so I feel like we all go back outside.
Well, hang on. Before we do that, Azura wants to look the kids over and see if any of them have that green shit on their neck.
That's good idea.
My perception is an 18 plus 6.
None of these children have green spots.
None of these children.
Okay, Azura is immediately going to start, like, running to all of the beds and, like, ripping off strips of fabric and putting it around the kids' faces and be like, "I'm just going to do this because we don't really know what's going on, but I would rather be safe than sorry. And you see how we're all wearing these mask things? You're going to be super cool, just like all of us, and wear your own." And she's just going to start, like, tying them onto these kids to be like, "Please protect yourselves."
So you guys head downstairs?
Yeah, I feel like we go back outside, and then I kind of look at the group and I'm like, "Okay, who's coming with me to the cellar, and who's staying here to watch the kids?"
Tikka volunteers to watch the kids along with Calypso.
Convenient. Okay. Make the NPCs stay.
No further than just watching them and, like, get them the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Well, like, you can go back.
Yeah.
If there are more kids in the cellar, we should take them all back at once.
And then Calypso says, maybe I should stay behind instead. I don't know. I feel like one of us should stay behind, if that's the case. We've seen that there's nothing, like, bad on the way here. I don't see why it would be any different if one person went back with them.
Oddbell raises her hand.
What's up, Oddbell?
You know, just because there was nothing bad on the way here does not mean there's not going to be anything bad on the way back. And if Tikka has to march 7 kids by himself with no backup, anything could happen to him, anything could happen to the kids. He should absolutely have backup.
And 17 is too many for one adult anyway. Let's just go get the other ones and we'll take them all out at once. We're kind of, in my opinion, time is a bit of the essence right now because we don't really know the nature of this whole thing. What and she's just going to kind of waffle her hands around everything and all the decrepit decay and the nasties.
Okay, but then who's going to be left to take the kids back? Because we still have to figure out where this music's coming from and stop that.
I'm just thinking about
the kids from the cellar, and then two people can take the kids out, and then the rest of us can kind of find the music box, or we can take all the kids out together and come back together. I don't really know.
Because I'm just thinking of like those like weird vampire wraith things that I sent away, and they just poofed out of existence. So, like, as long as there's two, I just feel like two adults should be together. Just whether they leave or go, there should just be at least two adults.
I guess. I feel like we're still waiting for something worse than we've already faced. Like, everything's been pretty easy to this point, and I feel really, really, really worried about leaving you guys behind. Especially with your two archers going. I don't think that's a great idea.
You're like a nurse who just said it's quiet in emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Then I will stay and Rowan will go. And Rowan looks like, what?
Well, you can't hit anything, Rowan. Like, okay. Don't be offended. It's true.
Okay. We're not gonna right now. Let's just go get the kids from the cellar and then we'll revisit this conversation, okay? Let's just go get the kids.
Okay.
And he runs to the cellar.
Okay. So Rowan and Tikka are in the front area with the kids. And you guys run back through the building to the backyard?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, it's a straight shot. You guys get there and you see the closed doors of the cellar to your left, like the kid said. You see, like, toys in the yard, but they look like they've never been played with.
This is breaking Fluffle's heart.
Piss Azura off. She is mad.
Now you understand why Fluffles burned them all down.
Yes.
I understood way before.
I understood the idea behind it initially, but like now we're also living it.
Yeah, true. All right, shall we?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fluffles opens the door.
Okay, do you guys go straight down or?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Do we all have dark vision?
Red does not.
Calypso only has it underwater.
I just do. I don't know. You can hold my tail. I hand her Wilson.
Cool. Thanks.
Oh, wait, no, she does have it. She has it up to 90 feet.
Well, let me see. Features and traits. I could turn into an animal that can see in the dark. You know what? I'm going to do that. Fuck it. I'm going to turn into a wolf.
Yes.
Nice.
Ripped him straight apart.
Let me bring up my creature info site here. And I actually don't think Azura has done this yet. So,
let's see how
everyone reacts to this shit. You know what? I can't really see in the dark, so let's just... Oh. I'm just gonna do this! And Azura is going to turn herself into... Let me see the difficulty of this one first, make sure I can. 1/4. Yep, that's good. Oh no, wolves don't have the ability to see in the dark. Well, fuck. What have has done
cats? Owls?
I can't change into flying.
Can you turn into like a some kind of spider? Like, do spiders have dark vision?
You might be better off just like, I don't know, asking Oddbill to use light.
I do have light.
Yeah, let's just do that. I don't want to burn one of my slots.
Fluffles has dancing lights too.
Oh, if you want to use that, that's cool too. Aren't they both cantrips? So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I do have a question.
Yeah.
With the blue light that Azura cast before, the fairy fire. This is just Jenna talking because I'm curious. Would it, just to see how everyone else is feeling about it, do you think that would be a good thing to cast because then we can see all the people that are down there?
Fairy fire?
That'd be awesome. I mean, I can see it all anyway, but you guys
are going to see it then. Well, I have dark vision. So I could still see it, but then, like, we know who's a kid and who's not a kid, that kind of thing. Might not be able to difference, but at least then Azura, like, for sure, if anything happens to Light or anything, if anything happens to one of the other cantrips, at least she'll be able to see. We can differentiate between the people.
Fire is also a first level spell for me.
They may
have four slots.
Well, Dancing Lights is a cantrip, and it could work.
Then let's just do that one.
Okay, so Fluffles will cast Dancing Lights, and he'll cast it in, like, the corners of the room, and then the far wall.
Okay, awesome. It's in the same L shape as everything else, and you guys see a few kids sitting in the corner, and there's three adults. One was pacing, and the others were, like, just kind of sitting there bored, like, we're not sure what we're gonna do. Can you guys make a perception check for me?
I got a 19.
22.
I got 14.
So everyone but Fluffles, and let's see if Calypso gets it. Yeah, everyone but Fluffles notices that this group of people definitely have green marks on their neck.
Oh no.
But for some reason, they're not ending up the same as everybody else.
Because they're under. Shit. Oh, sorry. Was I not supposed to say that out loud?
No, that's like, I don't know if you were not supposed to say that, but I think that's brilliant. I think that's, like super fair.
I'm confused. What happened?
When we saw the first body in the first cellar, he was half above the ground level and half below, and the part above was, like, super rotted and decrepit, and the half that was below ground level was just, like, standard rotted for 1 week.
Oddbell, like, okay, so remember when I was asking about, like, the stone shape or, like, the dirt moving, if anyone has one of those?
Yeah.
Picture me this. What if, instead of taking the adults above ground through the dome of gross, we take them, if they're good. If they're not good, we kill them. But if they're bad, I mean, if they are good, then we, like, just make a tunnel out past the dome. And then maybe if they're past the dome, they don't have, like, the green dots just go away because they never went up. So they can't, like, go crazy and die.
Okay.
And they were always underground.
But the dome didn't come until after the green dots anyway.
Mm.
And Keisha, you didn't answer my question. The kids too?
Yes. There's only one figure that doesn't have a dot on their neck, and they're tied up in the corner. And they're not one of the three that are free.
Adult or kid?
You're pretty sure it's an adult, but they're really tiny. You assume it's a halfling.
Can I do a vibe check?
A vibe check?
Yeah, just to see, like, is the person tied up the bad guy, or is the person tied, like, the three dots people bad, and they tied up the guy, or, like, get the vibe of the room?
I guess you can roll insight. I don't know if you can do that from just looking at people that haven't done anything yet.
You can also, I mean, if we're gonna go that route, you can also just go process of elimination. The woman upstairs was on the bucket and the kids were huddled in a corner. Down here in the basement, the adults have the upper hand and the kids are huddled in a corner, very scared. And there is a fourth adult chained up in a corner and the other three adults don't really seem to give a shit about it. Process of elimination, three adults are bad dudes.
True. That's a pretty insightful vibe check.
Okay, so I know my playstyle this episode has been kind of weird, but that's because I've changed the way I want to approach Azura a little bit more, and I want to lean more into her genuine strength, just, like, stat and number-wise, and she is hella wise and super insightful.
No, I didn't want my comment to come across as me being sassy. I was just like, that is very true. That is just a reasonable way to think of that.
Yeah. I didn't take it as a thing. It was just like an overall general for everybody listening, if it makes it in. That's why Azura's behaving differently.
Works for me. I like it.
You could also explain it as she's become more comfortable, so she's kind of coming out of her shell a bit.
I think that's part of it. I think that's definitely why. Yeah.
All right, so folks, what do we want to do? Do we want to just charge them, or what do we want to do?
They know that you're there. They watched the door open.
And
entire room is lit up now.
Yeah, true. So let's roll initiative.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Throne of Dice. My name is Keisha, and I was your Dungeon Master. Oddbell was played by Jenna, Fluffles McTavish was played by Jackie, and Azura was played by Jess. We're back! It's been a while. Been like 3 years, I know. But we thank you for everybody who's coming back to support the show and enjoying the show. We've gone to a once per month schedule because we have two other shows that we're doing, and I wanted to tell you about them. So the first show is Confessions of a Game Master, and I host it. I talk to game masters and dungeon masters from the community about their shames and successes as storytellers of TTRPG games. It is a wonderful, fun little segment, and if you want to be a better game master or dungeon master, go ahead, go listen to that. We have some great guests on, like Morgan from Mindblade Mondays, which you know from our mini-series Battle Bandits, as well as Dan from What the Dice. We also have other names like James from Roll Britannia, one of the biggest British TTRPG shows there is. We have also The Billowing Hilltop, and we have Zeal Zaddies, and Season 2 is already recorded some, and we've got 5 GMs in a Trench Coat, and so many great other options of people. One of my favorite episodes has to be Lucas Zellers, where we talk about his Book of Extinction, taking animals that are extinct and adding and turning them into playable monsters for D&D. It was super great talking to him and all of my other guests on that show. So go ahead, go take a listen to that. Highly recommend for anybody looking to be a better dungeon master. I know I got better at it while I was doing the show myself. Speaking of, some changes to Throne of Dice. So you have 4 more episodes after this one of content from 3 years ago, and then we start with the stuff that we started recording in the last couple months. And that means you get to see us completely in a different light. The girls and I have a much better understanding of not only how to play the game, but how to roleplay better. So you'll see a major shift towards more roleplay-based gaming. You'll see a lot less rules called, and you'll see a much more free flow improv-y style, which is something I've adopted in the last couple years as a game master. And if you really like that shift in style, great, because that's what's going to be on Throne of Dice from now on, because I used to railroad a lot when I first started this campaign. We did a lot of pre-planning, and now it's going to be a little more chaotic, which I'm really excited for. As for something else that we've had in the works, I am part of a podcast project called Dice Decideth. We had a campaign that we tried to start last year, and then the recordings got really complicated, and if we're going to release that campaign at all, it needs to be done in an audio drama style instead of traditional, like, podcasting style, just because there's multiple storylines, and it's going to be a huge undertaking to edit it properly, so we took it off the air while we're trying to figure out how to shuffle things. But now I'm the Dungeon Master over there as well, and the boys and I created a campaign called Slytherian U, and we spent a couple sessions doing a Quiet Year run-through where we talked about the history of Oni and the situations going on over there, and we created a whole world that is really fun, really funny, and I can't help but laugh every time I go through and edit some of the stuff that happens over there. We have the Quiet Year available for our patrons over on the Patreon, and we have opportunities now going forward to be named in the episodes, be part of making stuff for the campaign. It'll start releasing here shortly. I have a couple weeks, and then the first Quiet Year episode will launch, and they're also going to a monthly schedule. We have finished recording up to episode 5, I believe. So if you want any of those early slots in the name thing, go over to Patreon, become a patron, and we'll name a character after you. But yeah, you'll get to have all of that background for what happens. We make a lot of references to it throughout the campaign, The Quiet Year, and I think it's worth taking a look. We have other campaigns coming out with other team members hosting that are going to be coming out on the Patreon. And yeah, know that every little bit of help that you put towards us and our projects helps. It'll help us get an editor. It'll help us get back to a bi-weekly and maybe even a weekly schedule at some point. Here's hoping. But until then, we have 3 different podcasts for you to listen to. And so the campaigns will be once a month, and Confessions of a Game Master will be twice a month. Hopefully we can get to a point where we can make it more often. That would be nice. But until then, I hope you enjoy all the content we have for you and all of the great new stories we have coming up. We will see you guys in the next episode.
It's the blooper time.
Also, since we're in this interim waiting period, fuck you, Keisha.
Love you. I told you you'd hate me.
Can I be honest? As soon as you said see Brian, I was like, oh, fuck.
That's your mom's name?
No, Kadri. Shadri is my mom's name. And it was just as soon as we walked into the blacksmith and she said, see Brian, I was like, oh no, this is my episode.